This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Wednesday, June 27th, 2018. Coming up this hour,
U.S. futures slide and stocks in China extend their bear market decline.
Donald Trump signals he favors less confrontation with China on technology.
Crude oil trades near $71 a barrel as the U.S. presses allies to halt imports of Iranian crude.
It's a stunning upset in New York's primary, and it came on the Democratic side of the aisle. Plus, a federal judge has ruled on reuniting immigrant children. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
Baseball, things stay tight atop the AL East. World Cup, Argentina stays alive as Messi gets going. And the Wizards and Clippers work out a trade. I'm Pete Fox. Those stories and more coming up in Bloomberg Sports.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
And good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Greenwich Shares, a provider of cost-effective, no K-1 commodity ETFs. Visit GreenwichShares.com for more information. Distributor Foreside Fund Services, LLC.
It is 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And futures are lower this morning, with S&P futures down 8.5 points, Dow futures down 110, NASDAQ futures down 48. The DAX in Germany is higher, up 0.2%. The CAC in Paris, little change. FTSE 100 up 0.1%. Nikkei 225 in Japan fell 0.3%, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong down 1.8%. 10-year Treasury up 7/32. The yield 2.85%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.51%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.9% or 66 cents to $71.19 a barrel. COMEX gold little changed, up 30 cents to $12.60.20 an ounce. The euro, $1.1643. The yen, 109.88. Bob.
The stock sell-off in China continues. We get the recap from Bloomberg's Juliet Sully in Singapore.
Bob and Karen, the Shanghai Composite closed down by more than 1%, extending its move into bear market territory, which was reached during Tuesday's session. A weaker yuan, coupled with ongoing concerns about the U.S.-China trade relationship, pushed Chinese stocks listed on the mainland and in Hong Kong lower, with airlines and property developers hardest hit. The offshore yuan posted its longest losing streak in 4 years in Hong Kong. But equity benchmarks in Tokyo ended little changed after swinging between gains and losses while the yen climbed. In Singapore, Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Juliet. We turn to the latest on trade tensions between the U.S. and China. President Trump is signaling he may take a less confrontational path toward curbing Chinese investments on technology. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with more. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Karen. Mr. Trump made remarks at the White House that appeared to align with Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin's more measured approach over how to protect U.S. intellectual property from China.
We have the greatest technology in the world. People copy it and they steal it. But we have the great scientists, we have the great brains, and we have to protect that. And we're going to protect it. And that's what we were doing. And that can be done. We have a lot of things we can do it through.
Trump added that can be done through CFIUS. The administration officials have disagreed over how to limit Chinese investment in U.S. technology. Mnuchin favors using CFIUS, the Committee on Foreign Investments in the U.S., which reviews foreign acquisitions of U.S. companies for national security risks. Others favor a more aggressive approach, declaring an economic emergency. Reports that the U.S. was considering more extreme unilateral measures against China rattled markets, sending stocks of the U.S. and Asia tumbling on Monday. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
John with us live. Thank you. Big Oil is speaking out, meantime, about the president's trade policy. We get details from Bloomberg's Gina Cervetti.
Top executives from ExxonMobil, Chevron, and Total all took shots at Trump's trade plans at the World Gas Conference in Washington. They expressed concern that U.S. tariffs are a risk to oil and gas demand, and that restrictions on importing steel could impede one of the country's fastest-growing major industries. The common thread, restricting trade hurts investor confidence, risking major energy projects from shale pipelines to gas export terminals. It's a reversal from 6 months ago when Big Oil was singing Trump's praises for slashing corporate taxes. Gina Cervetti, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Gina, thank you. Donald Trump garnered more votes from Louisianans in 2016 than any other presidential candidate in history, but Louisiana's reliance on trade makes it a unique microcosm of how the tariff battle will affect America. Katya Dmitrieva wrote the story for Bloomberg News.
We also found that it would be a big hit on the companies that are most supportive of Donald Trump. So everything from steel companies, pipe welders, ports, the actual people who are boarding these ships and boarding the product onto the ships, and the port districts and the warehouses, and the impact travels from the port to the rails, to the trucks, and out to the rest of the U.S. economy. So it's just a snapshot of what these trade tariffs could mean for the rest of the U.S.
Bloomberg's Katya Dmitrieva. According to the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas, a trade war would slow total economic output in Louisiana by a minimum of 7% over 5 years, and that's the most of any state.
In Europe, the Bank of England published its biannual financial stability report. Bloomberg's Sebastian Salek has the latest now from London. Good morning.
Good morning, Karen and Bob. We heard the Bank of England stepping up the pressure on the European Union to remove the threat that Brexit poses to trillions of pounds of derivative contracts. The central bank noted on Wednesday that the UK has announced some steps towards a solution, including a pledge to grant interim permissions if necessary. But as of yet, the EU has not reciprocated. The central bank also highlighted US corporate debt, saying that companies have been piling up debt in recent years, and a drop in lending standards makes this another risk to financial stability. The pound paring most of its losses after the report. In London, I'm Sebastian Salek, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Sebastian, thank you. The ranks of hedge fund managers expecting impending market chaos are growing. Greg Coffey, the former star manager at Moore Capital Management, is comparing the turmoil in May to the end of dot-com bubble in 2000. Horseman Capital Management's Russell Clark, one of the most bearish hedge fund managers in Europe, invoked memories of the financial crisis of 2008 in a letter to clients. Billionaire George Soros in May warned of a looming financial crisis and an existential threat to the European Union.
Oil's trading at its highest level in a month as the risk of a supply crunch continues to haunt markets. U.S. demand that Iran's customers halt their imports are overshadowing Saudi Arabia's promise to boost output. Checking oil right now, NYMEX is trading up 0.75% at 71.08. This is Bloomberg. And that brings us to 6:07 on Wall Street. A primary election surprise. Bloomberg's Michael Barr with that and more. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. Longtime Representative Joe Crowley was dealt a stunning upset in New York's Democratic primary last night. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who previously worked as an organizer for Senator Bernie Sanders' presidential campaign, won the Democratic nomination for Crowley's district covering Queens and part of the Bronx. The 28-year-old Democratic congressional nominee talked about her stunning win to CBS.
I think that it means that we need to be expanding what we are listening to in terms of advocacy for working-class Americans, people of color, and more.
Ocasio-Cortez won 57.5% to Crowley at 42.5%. Also in New York, Republican Representative Dan Donovan decisively beat back a challenge from former Congressman and ex-convict Michael Grimm with the help of an endorsement from President Donald Trump. Donovan won 64% to Grimm at 36%. Donovan during his victory speech on Staten Island.
We need to hold on to this majority in the House, because all Nancy Pelosi and Maxine Waters are talking about is taking over the House and impeaching our president. We cannot let that happen.
Donovan faces Democratic primary winner Max Rose in November. President Trump also strongly endorsed South Carolina Governor Henry McMaster, who won the Republican nomination in the state's gubernatorial runoff.
Just since I've been in office, I've announced $6 billion in investment and almost 21,000 jobs. That is a record, and it's getting stronger and stronger every day. We're going to keep on doing that. As President Trump says, we're going to keep on winning, winning, winning in South Carolina.
As expected, former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney easily won his Utah Senate primary.
We also welcome immigrants and refugees who come here legally. They add to the vitality of our great country.
The former GOP presidential nominee will now face Democrat Jenny Wilson in the fall. A federal judge in California ordered the Trump administration to reunite immigrant children who were separated from their families at the U.S. border crossings in no later than 30 days. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thanks, Michael. 6:09 on Wall Street. That is time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Investors Bank. And here's Pete Fox.
Thanks, Bob. Mets with a nice walk-off win, snapping a seven-game losing streak. Wilmer Flores knocked in the game winner in the 10th.
Waiting on an 0-1 from the lefty, Brault. Here it is. Swing, it's lined on the chalk line. Fair ball. It's the rolled-up tarpaulin. Here comes Conforto. That's for you, Sandy. The Mets have won it. They walk it off 4-3.
Manager Mickey Callaway.
You know, obviously he's a great hitter, but he has a shorter swing than most. And when you're in those situations where the game's on the line, you know, guys are trying to get you to chase. And when he doesn't chase and they have to get the ball up or they hang a breaking ball or something, he's short and quick to the ball and he doesn't miss it.
In Philadelphia, strong outing for Luis Severino. He went 7, gave up just 6 hits, allowing no runs while striking out 9 Phils. In a 6-0 win, he's now 12-2. Manager Aaron Boone.
Well, I mean, we always want to start well, but we're going to be, you know, aggressive in the strike zone. He's very good at moving the ball. You know, all his different pitches have good movement on it. So, you know, the challenge is keeping him on the plate. I thought we did a pretty good job of that. We took advantage of a mistake they made behind him and added some more runs. And then the guys kept adding on a little bit, which made it nice.
Other baseball news, Mets general manager Sandy Alderson is going to take a leave of absence to be treated for cancer. And from the NHL, the Hall of Fame class of 2018 has been announced. Tampa Bay Lightning, Martin Saint-Louis, part of that group, as is Devils goaltender in his 691 wins, Marty Brodeur. I'm Pete Fox. That's your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Bob?
Pete, thanks very much. U.S. stock index futures pointing lower. S&P futures down by 9 points. That is a third of 1%. Dow futures down 110 points. NASDAQ futures down 49 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg Radio. The Sports Report was brought to you by Investors Bank. Connect with the experts at Investors Bank. With strong relationships and customized solutions, they work with your business every step of the way. Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Member FDIC.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, 617 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Hannah George at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Karen. Hedge fund gloommongers are growing in number. Greg Coffey, a former star at Moore Capital and who started his own firm this year, compared last month's turmoil with the end of the dot-com bubble. While Horseman Capital's Russell Clark saw echoes of 2008 in his May investor letter, with inflated margins and valuations as rates and commodities rise. Top executives from T-Mobile US and Sprint present the case for their $26.5 billion merger to the Senate's antitrust panel today. T-Mobile's John Ledger will pitch the idea that the deal will enhance rather than reduce competition. The US was ordered to reunite immigrant children separated from their families at borders and stop detaining parents without their kids. A judge gave the government 2 weeks to return the youngest to their families and 30 days for the over fives. In the House, a person familiar told Bloomberg the GOP immigration bill set for a vote today won't satisfy conservatives. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen?
All right, Hannah George, thank you. And it is official. Conagra to buy Pinnacle Foods in a $10.9 billion deal, including Pinnacle's outstanding net debt. Taking a look at futures this morning, they're lower. S&P futures down 10 points. Dow futures down 119. NASDAQ futures down 51. The DAX in Germany up 0.2%. 10-year Treasury up 0.8 seconds. Yield 2.84%. Yield on the 2-year 2.51%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.8% or 58 cents to $71.11 a barrel. COMEX gold, it little changed. $12.59.80 an ounce. The euro, $1.1640. The yen, 109.88. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, it was a major upset in New York's Democratic primary. 10-term Representative Joseph Crowley has been defeated by a 28-year-old challenger. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, a political novice running on a low budget and liberal platform, won a surprise victory in a district that includes parts of the Bronx and Queens. Ocasio-Cortez won 57.5% to Crowley at 42.5%. Elsewhere on a packed primary election night, President Trump's endorsement weighed in two high-profile wins for Governor Henry McMaster in South Carolina in his primary runoff and Representative Dan Donovan in the Staten Island-based U.S. House District. Mitt Romney easily won his Utah Senate Republican primary. In baseball, the Yankees and Mets were winners along with the Red Sox, A's, and Giants. The Nationals lost along with the Orioles. In the World Cup, Peru, Argentina, and Croatia were all winners. Denmark and France ended in a 0-0 draw. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you very much. 6:20 on Wall Street. Oil rising to a one-month high. The U.S. wants to punish Iran, urging its allies to stop buying their oil. Let's get a little smarter on the oil complex this morning. Javier Blas joins us from London. He's our chief energy correspondent. Hey, let me ask you, can Saudi Arabia, Iran's sworn enemy, can they make up the difference?
Well, they can, depending on how much the U.S. government is successful in driving all his allies to stop buying Iranian crude. Can Saudi Arabia replace all the Iranian oil exports, about 2.6, 2.7 million barrels a day? Probably they cannot. Can they replace Iranian exports going into places like Europe, Japan, South Korea, Taiwan, and some of that also into India? They will, but they were going to put all their production. They are going to have to go to maximum production, and it's something that we have not seen in Saudi Arabia in at least 70 years.
And that would raise the question, even if they could, how long could they sustain that?
Well, that's a big question because we have never seen it. The Saudis say that they can produce 12 million barrels a day if needed. They are at the moment about 10, rising very fast in July to 10.8. That's what we reported yesterday. But there are big question marks. If I ask oil, physical oil traders or hedge funds, do you believe that Saudi Arabia can go to 12 million barrels a day and stay there for a year? The almost unanimous view is going to be no, probably they cannot do that. So it's going to be a big test for the Saudis, what is coming now, to replace a significant volume of Iranian oil barrels.
Well, let's back up. Is everybody on board with this request from the U.S.? What's the response been?
Well, the U.S. is carrying a big stick. There are secondary sanctions that a lot of companies want to avoid. So I think that in Europe, we're going to see European oil companies stop buying Iranian oil. I think that in Japan and South Korea, probably we're going to see very much the same. And we're going to see probably a reduction in imports of Iranian oil in India, particularly from the big refiners such as Reliance, which have international operations and probably want to keep on the good side with the White House. Is China going to fall on board with this plan? I very much doubt it, and I will expect that China continues to buy Iranian oil, and I think that Turkey also probably will continue to buy some Iranian oil, but still it's a pretty big drop in Iranian oil that we are about to see. Before the statements coming yesterday from the State Department, the consensus of the market was that we're going to lose something between 300 and 500,000 barrels a day, perhaps a bit more. Now the consensus is about double that amount, if not even higher.
Okay, the guy driving the big pickup truck in my neighborhood with the Make America Great Again bumper sticker, is he going to pay more at the pump as midterm elections approach?
Yeah, absolutely. He's going to be facing higher gasoline prices. No doubt whatsoever about that. The Saudis are going to try to cushion the impact as much as they can. It's the closest ally within OPEC that the United States has, and they have the capacity to produce more oil, but gasoline prices are heading higher in the United States and elsewhere, and it's a question very much of how much the price increase rather than whether the price is going to increase.
You cover all sorts of commodities. I just want to change the subject real quickly. gold is lower. Is gold a commodity anymore? Or is it? It's behaving like. Is it a commodity or a safe haven? It's behaving more of a commodity.
It's a mix of a commodity, a safe haven, and a currency. Obviously, the movement in the dollar is affecting gold significantly. There's not a problem on supply right now whatsoever, but we have a bit more demand for gold coming from investors who see it as a safe haven. Usually, at times of geopolitical tension, fears of war in the Middle East in particular, we see an uptick in gold prices, and I will expect that as tension and wars continue to escalate in the Middle East, we're going to see more of that.
Javier, thank you. Javier Bloss, our chief energy correspondent, joining us from London. NYMEX crude, 61 cents higher at 71.14. And Brent is up 49 cents at 76.80. That's up 6 tenths. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
Daybreak brought to you by National Realty, developers of Prime New York, Hoboken, Philadelphia, and Delray Beach Real Estate. Up to 20% return properties. See them at nria.net.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it is 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Stocks are falling around the world as trade tensions linger. Dow futures are down more than 113 points. Stocks in China extending their bear market decline. The Shanghai Composite Index dropped more than 1%. And in Europe, the Stock 600 Index is trading at a two-month low.
President Donald Trump did signal he may take a less confrontational path toward curbing Chinese investments in sensitive American technologies, potentially relying on a U.S. committee that scrutinizes foreign acquisitions for national security risks.
In deal news, Conagra Brands is buying Pinnacle Foods for almost $11 billion in cash and stock.
Wall Street awaits a bevy of economic data today on U.S. trade, manufacturing, and housing, and Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice has a preview.
Economists say the merchandise trade deficit probably widened a bit in May to about $69 billion. Trade is a hot potato. White House policy is weighing on the economic outlook, with tariffs adding to the cost of imports. Manufacturers are bearing some of the cost. Factory orders for durable goods probably declined in May for the third time this year. Higher mortgage rates, meantime, are weighing on the property market. Pending home sales probably edged higher in May after dropping in April by more than 1%. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Many thank you. UK house price growth is slow to the weakest pace in 5 years, while London values are falling. Nationwide's monthly report showed UK prices rose 2% in June from a year earlier, down from 2.4% in May.
Oil is trading at its highest level in a month as the risk of a supply crunch continues to haunt markets. A U.S. demand that Iran's customers halt their imports, overshadowing Saudi Arabia's promise to boost output. Right now, NYMEX crude is trading up 0.8% at 71.13. Brent crude up 0.75% to 76.87 a barrel. And it is now 6:32 on Wall Street. Time for the Volatility Index report. The VIX dropped and closed at 15.92 in yesterday's session. Separately, in today's extended morning trading, the VIX is currently up to 16.55. That's this morning's volatility report.
S&P futures are lower, down 11 points. Dow futures down 123 now. NASDAQ futures down 54. The DAX in Germany is up a tenth of a percent. 10-year Treasury up 8/32, yield 2.84%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.51%. COMEX gold little changed at 1260.20 an ounce. The euro at $1.1640. The yen is at 109.85. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. It is now 6:33 on Wall Street. We have an upset to tell you about in New York's Democratic primary. Bloomberg's Michael Barnow on who this new contender for Congress is.
Thank you, Bob. She's a Bernie Sanders supporter who ran on this message.
This race is about people versus money. We've got people. They've got money.
In a stunning victory in New York's Democratic primary, 10-term Congressman Joe Crowley lost. 28-year-old Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez beat Crowley 57.5% to 42.5%. In New York's 9th Congressional District, Representative Yvette Clark survived the Democratic primary challenge from a 30-year-old son of Ugandan war refugees. Clark tallied about 1,000 votes more than Adam Bunkadeko. With President Trump's support, New York Congressman Dan Donovan fended off a Republican primary challenge from former Congressman Michael Grimm, who served prison time for tax fraud. Grimm vowed to support Donovan.
Our opponent in this race, in a primary, was never our enemy. So, we're going to support the Republican nominee. We're going to support Dan Donovan, and we're going to make sure we beat the Democrats in November.
Donovan, who won 64% to Grimm at 36%, faces Democrat Max Rose in November. Former Republican presidential nominee Mitt Romney won his Senate primary battle in Utah.
We prize education and rigorous debate, and we expect the people who are our leaders to carry out these debates with civility and dignity.
Romney faces Democrat Jenny Wilson. In Maryland, former NAACP President Benjamin Jealous won the Democratic gubernatorial primary and will face GOP Governor Larry Hogan. In Colorado, Congressman Jared Polis won the Democratic nomination for governor. Polis faces Republican Walker Stapleton in the fall. A federal judge in California has ordered U.S. border authorities to reunite separated families within 30 days, 14 days if the child is younger than 5. Special Counsel Robert Mueller has notched a key victory in his bid to maintain his legal authority.
A federal judge in Alexandria, Virginia has ruled Mueller did properly bring tax and bank fraud charges against former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort. This clears the way for Manafort to face trial on those charges next month. Now, at a hearing last month, the same federal judge, T.S. Ellis, questioned whether Mueller brought the charges to get Manafort to sing against President Trump. Now Ellis says the charges clearly stem from the special counsel's investigation into payments Manafort's accused of receiving from pro-Russian sources. In Washington, I'm Nathan Hager, Bloomberg Radio.
Thank you, Nathan. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
6:36 on Wall Street. Thank you, Michael. Your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update brought to you by Investors Bank. And here's Pete Fox.
Thanks, Bob. World Cup action. Argentina stays alive after a 2-1 win over Nigeria. Croatia beat Iceland by the same score. Denmark and France played to the first 0-0 draw of the tournament. And Peru, a 2-0 win over Australia. Baseball on the diamond at Citizens Bank in Philadelphia. Severino dominated the Phils in a 6-0 win. He went 7, didn't allow a run, gave up 6 hits, and struck out 9. He's now 12-2 with a 2.1 ERA. They maintain that half-game lead in the East because the Red Sox routed the Angels at Fenway 9-1. And at Citi Field, the Mets with a walk-off win in 10 innings, beating the Pirates 4-3. Wilmer Flores knocked in the game winner. Other news from the Mets front office, GM Sandy Alderson is scheduled to take a leave of absence to be treated for cancer. And from the NHL, the 2018 Hockey Hall of Fame class has been announced as Martin St. Louis and Marty Brodeur have been inducted. I'm Pete Fox. That's your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Bob?
Thank you, Pete. Genetic engineering could help produce more resilient crops and more effective vaccines. Might it also be used to make biological weapons? Rebecca Spalding wrote the story for Bloomberg News.
Genetic material is becoming more and more available to researchers, and why that's important is scientists can now use DNA to engineer organisms that can create fertilizer or even things like rose oils that go into fragrances. The issue is that a lot of this technology could potentially be used nefariously. So rather than researchers using DNA sequencing to make something like bacteria that could go and replace fertilizer, they could make things like Ebola in theory or other dangerous diseases.
Bloomberg's Rebecca Spalding. To help curtail the threat, the U.S. intelligence community is working with a Boston-based company, Ginkgo Bioworks, that makes some of the most innovative genetic products in the world to help prevent a new class of dangerous biological weapons from ever being built. The Trump administration wants public input on how to improve safety for minors, but it's unclear if the input will lead to any new regulations given the administration's anti-regulatory stance. Nancy Lyons is in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom.
The Mine Safety and Health Administration wants input on two areas needing a safety upgrade.
What they call mobile machinery, mobile equipment, so bulldozers and loaders and trucks. And the other is conveyor belts on which the coal is loaded and transported to the surface.
Bloomberg Environment's Stephen Lee says the administration is walking a fine line, so the outcome is unknown.
The president has said repeatedly that he is anti-regulation, but on the other hand, you know, he does rely very heavily and did rely in 2016 on voters in coal country.
In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
Nancy, thank you. General Mills will release its fiscal fourth quarter results this morning, and we get a preview from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Bloomberg Intelligence says General Mills per share earnings may have risen about 2%. That would reflect a low single-digit pickup in net sales led by improved volume and modestly wider operating margin. Earnings for the full fiscal year may be in line with the prior year. General Mills acquired the pet food maker Blue Buffalo in April, and investors are looking forward to an update. Forecasts are for General Mills to post an adjusted profit of 72 cents a share on revenue of $3.9 billion. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Jeff. And it is now 6:39 on Wall Street. That is time for your Bloomberg Green Business Report. Edison International's Southern California Edison is looking to spend another $760 million on expanding electric car charging networks as the state works to get more emissions-free vehicles on the road. Edison says it's filed a plan with the state regulators to support the installation of 48,000 charging ports over 4 years. SoCalEd already won $343 million from regulators to help build out the networks necessary to charge medium and heavy-duty electric vehicles. California Governor Jerry Brown has made the adoption of electric cars a key part of his effort to combat climate change. Earlier this year, he outlined a $2.5 billion plan to expand a network of EV charging and hydrogen fueling stations as part of the state's goal of getting 5 million zero-emissions cars on the road by 2030. And that's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. S&P futures currently down 9 points, a third of 1%. And check out At TikTok by Bloomberg, the first and only global news network built for Twitter. It's 24/7 news streaming live on Twitter. Follow us at TikTok, TICTOC.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is 6:47 on Wall Street. Futures this morning are moving lower. Let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are under pressure right now, with Dow futures down 123 points. S&P's drop 11, and the Nasdaq futures decline by 53. The U.S. 10-year falls to 2.85%. Shanghai fell 1.1% overnight. Well, European markets are trading mixed this morning. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, durable goods orders, and at 10 o'clock, pending home sales. Regarding earnings today, look for General Mills to report around 7 a.m. and Paychex around 8:30. In deal news, Conagra Brands to buy Pinnacle Foods for $10.9 billion in cash and stock. And in other news, Baidu is buying back $1 billion in stock. And Netflix price target raised to $4.60 from $3.52. over at Bank of America. Wrapping things up, WellCare was upgraded to overweight at J.P. Morgan, AT&T upgraded to overweight at Morgan Stanley, and General Electric was upgraded to market perform over at Oppenheimer. Live from the First Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, thanks, Bill. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg Times, squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And you did mention that Conagra Pinnacle Foods deal. We're watching those shares in early trading. Conagra Brands is down about 3% this morning. Pinnacle Foods is down 3.5%. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, U.S. Representative Joseph Crowley has been defeated by a 28-year-old Bernie Sanders supporter in the Democratic congressional primary in New York. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, in her first campaign for Congress, won an upset victory in a district that includes parts of the Bronx and Queens. Ocasio-Cortez got 57.5% of the vote, compared to Crowley at 42.5%. Crowley had been considered a candidate to become the next House Speaker if Democrats won the majority. Also in New York, Representative Dan Donovan, who is backed by President Trump, One beating former Congressman Michael Grimm, who served time for tax fraud. Donovan got 64% of the vote to Grimm at 36%. South Carolina Governor Henry McMaster, who was supported by Trump, won his Republican gubernatorial runoff election. Also in South Carolina, State Senator William Timmons, a businessman and former prosecutor, prevailed in Republican primary runoffs and will face the winner of Democratic primary runoff winner Brandon Brown in a race to replace retiring Representative Trey Gowdy. In Maryland, incumbent Democratic Senator Ben Cardin advances to the general election in a Senate race topping a field that included former Army private Chelsea Manning, convicted for disclosing classified government documents to WikiLeaks. Tony Campbell won the Republican gubernatorial Senate primary. In baseball, the Yankees and Mets were winners along with the Red Sox, A's, and Giants. The Nationals lost along with the Orioles. In the World Cup, Peru, Argentina, and Croatia were all winners. Denmark and France ended in a 0-0 draw. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Michael, thank you. Now 6:50 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C. And some of the top stories in our nation's capital this morning include President Trump hosting Portuguese President Rebelo de Sousa at the White House. And then Mr. Trump is off on another campaign event, flying to North Dakota to rally Republicans. The Senate Veterans Affairs Committee considers President Trump's nominee for VA Secretary Robert Wilkie. This afternoon, there's a Senate Judiciary Committee subcommittee hearing on the proposed T-Mobile Sprint merger. And Vice President Mike Pence and his wife are visiting Brazil and Ecuador. Also making news this morning is an upset in New York's Democratic primary. A top member of the House Democratic leadership was blindsided by a fresh-faced candidate who raised one-tenth as much money. And Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter joins us now to talk about this. Kathleen, good morning. This sort of highlights the ongoing struggle over the Democratic Party's identity, does it not?
Absolutely. I think it shows very clearly that the sort of identity crisis the Democrats went through in 2016 that we saw demonstrated in the presidential race with the Bernie Sanders-Hillary Clinton face-off, that that divide persists, and if anything, it's perhaps grown more stark in the last 2 years. And so I think that, you know, what this portends for the upcoming midterms is really kind of an open question, but I think that, you know, we could see more of these examples of kind of folks from the more liberal wing of the party really making a run at more establishment candidates. And, you know, I think it's worth noting that this the woman who defeated Joe Crowley in New York was an organizer for Bernie Sanders 2 years ago, so clearly has a background in that type of, you know, sort of grassroots campaigning, which hasn't been as traditional for Democrats.
Yeah, Joe Crowley is 56 years old, a House veteran, and the victory went to 28-year-old Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, as you noted, Crowley's someone who was seen as a potential successor to Nancy Pelosi, who's been in the top Democratic job in the House for, you know, quite a long time now, and I think that there's a pretty deep stable of folks who are looking to move up the leadership ladder on the Democratic side. And it looks like Crowley now won't be getting an opportunity to throw his hat in the mix if and when Pelosi does step aside, given that he's now been defeated. He's one of several House members who had, you know, the designs on the top leadership job in the House who have either lost or sought other office, you know, as Pelosi has continued to be a mainstay there.
Let's move along to the latest on immigration, a court ruling that aims to speed the reuniting of those immigrant children separated from their parents.
Yeah, so basically a court in California said that the administration had to reunite these families that have been separated by Trump's policy at the border. And that definitely is being described as by critics of the policy as a big win for these separated families, even though Trump signed an executive order last week effectively saying that he was ending the policy. There was really no plan in place for reuniting the close to 3,000 kids who'd been separated from their parents. And so I think that this court decision will probably spur the administration to have to come up with a way of doing that and getting these folks back in touch with their family members.
How likely is it to actually speed up the process?
I mean, this is a new type of a policy. And so, you know, government, the wheels of government move very slowly. And so I think that, you know, it certainly helps from the perspective of those that are working to get these families reunited. But I think that, you know, it doesn't wave a magic wand and create a situation where they can solve a problem that has been created by the policy, where they don't really have a way of effectively reuniting these families very quickly.
And then there is the House Republican investigation of the Justice Department. Republicans taking steps to set up a vote this week on a measure pressing justice officials to provide more documents.
Yeah, we've seen this kind of all along, where essentially this is part of, from a political standpoint, part of House Republicans and congressional Republicans kind of campaign to back up the president in his criticism of the Justice Department and their handling of the Russia probe and the investigation into Trump and his colleagues. I think what we're seeing now is, you know, the request for more information from the Justice Department, which is certainly something that, you know, lawmakers obviously in the legislative branch want to have some oversight over the executive branch. But I think more significantly from a political standpoint, it feeds into the narrative that Republicans and Trump are trying to put out there, that the Justice Department hasn't been completely unbiased or fair in its investigation.
And the Republicans are basically going after information on the origins of the investigation into whether Donald Trump's presidential campaign colluded with the Russians.
Exactly. And I think that's kind of been the contention of Trump and his supporters all along, is that the campaign, that the investigation is a witch hunt and politically motivated campaign, and that it essentially stems from folks within the FBI and the Justice Department who are biased against Trump. There's not a whole lot of evidence to support that, but, you know, that's certainly been the Republicans' contention.
Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter, thank you very much. Karen.
Thanks, Bob. It is 6:56 on Wall Street. It's time now for the Bloomberg Small Business Report, and here's John Tucker. John.
And good morning, Karen. Amazon.com has picked American Express to issue a new co-branded credit card for small businesses. Amazon will provide line item detail on purchases that Amex card customers make on the website. It should allow small business owners to better control and reconcile their business purchases. And Bloomberg's Jenny Cernan says the rewards could be substantial.
As a small business customer, you're probably looking for a credit card that gives you good rewards and also helps you manage some of the expenses that you're seeing on those cards. And so this deal that Amex and Amazon have announced today really does both. We don't know the rewards yet, but we do know that it was a very competitive process.
Small businesses finance a lot of what they do using credit cards. And U.S. card issuers are boosting rewards on proprietary small business cards. And starting co-branding offerings as the competition for small business spending continues to heat up. That is today's Bloomberg Small Business Report. Karen.
All right, John Tucker, thank you. We continue to watch shares of Conagra Foods and Pinnacle Foods this morning. Conagra Brands is down 3% in early trading. Pinnacle Foods down 3.5%. And this on the news that Conagra Brands agreed to buy Pinnacle Foods for about $8.1 billion in cash and stock, gaining freezer aisle brands such as Bird's Eye to capitalize on growing demand for frozen foods. S&P futures are down 10 points this morning. Dow futures down 118. NASDAQ futures down 51. Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow coming up on Bloomberg Radio for our listeners in Washington, D.C. Bloomberg Daybreak continues. For Bob Moon, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.